final stretch here, the fourth quarter. We're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 16, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Friends, in the gallery, we have with us the officers of the ASUW, the Associated Students of University. This is student government. They are here to observe us as well as the Senate. And if they could stand and we can greet them.
Welcome to the People's House. Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
In the back here, and I'm really honored to do this. I was a Boy Scout. I didn't quite make Eagle. But we have three Eagle Scouts in the back here. As I introduce them, will you please stand up? I have Trey Mushman from Laramie, Troop 137, Roy Moat from Wheatland, Troop 47, and Aaron Sorensen from Laramie Troop 138. Please welcome to the House.
Thank you, Representative Blake. I know, I think you're a former Life Scout. Correct, yeah, I too am a Life. Are there any Eagle Scouts on the floor, members? Any of you members, the 60 of us? No Eagle Scouts. Well, congratulations. That's quite an honor. Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You may have privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In the back, we have the eighth grade class from Snowy Range Academy. So, and their teacher, Mr. Heiser, if they could stand up.
Welcome to the House. Messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate, February 15, 2017. Message number 290, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 192, Court Automation Fee 2. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the latest amendments. Message number 292. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution number 8, Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care. Ayes 29, excused 1. Message number 300. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 6, Principal-Based Reserving, ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 301. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation, ayes 27, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 302. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 60, State Investment Policy, ayes 26, noes 2, excused 2. Message number 303. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 305. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 195, Quebec 1, transfer. Ayes 20, noes 8, excused 2. Message number 306, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the late listed amendments. Message number 307, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 55, Spending Policy Amendments 2. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 308. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments, ayes 29, excused 1. Message number 309, concurrence, passed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions. Ayes 18, noes 9, excused 1, conflict 2. Message number 310, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 79, State Funds Equity Investments Pool. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 2, excused 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 304, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 129, Food Freedom Act Amendments. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as followed by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, excused 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Our doctor of the day is Dr. Christian Flanders, and our nurse of the day is Cynthia Labonte from the Wyoming State Board of Nursing here in Cheyenne. So thank you and welcome to the House. Our next order of business, we have one Senate file on first reading, and that Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Meyer, early retirement.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to retirement.
Senate File 95 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're at that order of business of signing, reading and signing of enrolled acts. Our first enrolled act is Enrolled Act Number 33, Original House Bill 6. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 33, House of Representatives, Original House Bill 6. An act relating to insurance, modifying reserve requirements for specified insurers, establishing exemptions, creating additional related requirements for insurers, providing confidentiality for specified documents, requiring one of certain mortality tables under specified conditions, defining the non-forfeiture insurance rate for specified insurance policies, providing definitions, providing rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 33, Original House Bill 6. I've so signed. The next enrolled act for our consideration is number 34, Original House Bill 35. The reading clerk will please read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 34, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 35, an act relating to the legislature, specifying the committee comprised of members of both houses of the legislature authorized to sponsor and introduce legislation during legislative sessions and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 34, Original House Bill 35. I've so signed. The next enrolled act is number 35, Original House Bill 60. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 35, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 60, an act relating to public funds, amending restrictions on the investment of permanent funds, providing for a strategy to evaluate the risk of investments, requiring the State Loan and Investment Board to establish metrics for managing and mitigating the risks of investments, requiring evaluations of the risks of investments as specified, requiring reports and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act 35, Original House Bill 60. I have so signed. The next enrolled act is number 36, Original House Bill 70. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
Enrolled Act Number 36, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 70, an act relating to the administration of government, recognizing limitations on the regulatory authority of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, providing legislative findings in relation to those limitations, specifying the policy of the state in regard to actions of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, authorizing intervention by the Attorney General to protect the interests of the state as specified, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 36, Original House Bill 70. I have so signed. The next Enrolled Act is Number 37, Original House Bill 195. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Enrolled Act Number 37, House of Representatives, being Original House Bill 195, an act relating to the Quebec One Missile Alert Facility, authorizing the transfer of ownership of the Quebec One Missile Alert Facility to the state as specified, requiring a report and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 37, Original House Bill 195. I have so signed. Congratulations, Representative Wilson. The next Enrolled Act is Enrolled Joint Resolution 1, Original House Joint Resolution 8. The reading clerk will read the joint resolution.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, House of Representatives, being Original House Joint Resolution 8, a joint resolution requesting Congress to uphold the federal trust responsibility to provide for the health care needs of American Indians, now therefore it be resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, Original House Joint Resolution Number 8. I have so signed. Congratulations, Representative Allen. The next Enrolled Act is Senate Enrolled Act 10, Original Senate File 31.
Enrolled Act Number 10, Senate, being Original Senate File 31. An act relating to genetic information privacy, prohibiting the collection, retention, and disclosure of genetic information without informed consent as specified, providing exceptions, providing for the retention and destruction of genetic information, providing criminal penalties, providing for a civil cause of action, and providing for an effective date, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, Original Senate File 31. I'm so signed. We have one standing committee report, I believe, so we are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Senate File 129, introduced by Senator Boner. Sexual assault, school employees, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 129, engrossed sexual assault, school employee, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pannell, Salazar, Winters. No, Representative Baker. Signed, Representative Winters, Vice Chairman.
We're at the order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. First message for our consideration is message number 285 on House Bill 19. Chairman Madden? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. I move concurrence on House Bill 19 in regard to message 285 and ask for you to vote yes. Ladies and gentlemen, as you might remember, during first reading, which is about 200 bills ago, I told you that we had some cleanup that we needed to do in C on page 3. But the general office that takes care of these legal matters, the person was not available during the House deliberation. He was out of town. So I promised you that we'd have a Senate cleanup to it, and this is exactly what it is. If you will see, look on page, or paragraph C on page 3, we remove the first three lines. This presumptuous discussion is removed and replaced with what you see on the concurrence message. The filing of a declaratory judgment action under subsection B of this section operates as an injunction during the pendency of the action. And then we have some deletions so that the C simply reads like this. Beginning where I left off, it just says prohibiting the department or any other state entity from enforcing the obligation in subsection A of this section against any seller who does not affirmatively consent or otherwise remit sales tax on a voluntary basis, then everything else is crossed off. So that's basically it, and I urge your concurrence.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 19. Majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. No. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem. No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson. Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux. Laux. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller. No. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson. No. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pipirinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Laux. Laux excused. Closing vote, are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 42 aye, 17 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 19. Next message for our consideration is message number 293 on House Bill 37. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move concurrence on message number 293 to House Bill number 37, teacher accountability, and ask you to vote no. The Senate went in and put in a big amendment on it, and I'll actually read you how the terms that you can fire a teacher under, as it's stated in here, and then I'll read to you the one that they added into it. One is incompetency, two is neglect of duty, three is immorality, including without limitation, engaging in conduct with the student, which would be a violation of Wyoming statutes, four is insubordination, five is physical incapacitability to perform job duties, even with reasonable accommodation, six is failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner, and seven is the beginning each school year and every school year thereafter. Inadequate performance is determined through poor performance evaluations. Eight is conviction of a felony, and nine is any other good and just cause relating to educational process. The one that they added into it was ineffective teaching as defined by board rule. It seems to me that ineffective teaching as defined by board rule could be any one of these things, including insubordination or incompetency, and that I'm asking you to vote no on this concurrence. I think they're out of line.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mrs. Speaker, on and for this. Talk about local control, and I think this is exactly something that we could agree on. It gives local control, ineffective teaching. We want there to be teacher accountability, and if the board feels, as defined by board rule, that there's ineffective teaching going on, then they should be able to fire a teacher. So on and for the amendment, or on and for the concurrence. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Just a reminder, when it comes to concurrences, we use second reading debate rules, so there's a time limit and a first and second. So for your anyone else for their first? For your second, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So once again, incompetency, neglect of duty, immorality, insubordination, physical incapacity, and failure to perform duties. If that's not part of what the board's already saying they need to do, then what is it? And so I think this is just going a little bit farther than we need to, especially when all these are already there. Thank you.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 37. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
Bightman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Aye. Eklund.
No.
No. Ayer.
No.
No. Flitner.
No.
No. Freeman.
No.
No. Furphy.
No.
No. Giroux.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye. Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson. No. Hunt.
No.
Jennings. Aye. Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux. Excused. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
No. Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
No.
No. Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
No. Summers.
No.
No. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 18 aye, 41 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 37.
The next message for our consideration is message number 293 on, excuse me, number 289 on House Bill 38. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message 289 for House Bill 38, which was school finance interfund borrowing, and ask for your favorable vote. What the Senate did is we had a date on the end of that made it effective June 1, and what we did is change it back to December 15th when I researched it and went and asked the LSO and the WDE, tell me how many districts are not capable of making the June or the December 15th date. They all said everybody's making December 15th, so I agreed with what the Senate did, and I'm asking you to vote favorably for this concurrence.
Anyone else? Anyone else for your first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 38. A majority of elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Or Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux. Excused. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 38. The next message for our consideration is message number 294 on House Bill 82. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 294, and it's in relation to House Bill 82. This is just a simple cleanup deal. We had the their standard language that they have included and replaced the original language with. They're all the same, I'll just go through one in the sake of time. If you go to page 3 of the engrossed copy, the way it was worded is, if the proposition was to increase the amount of the tax originally authorized and the proposition was adopted by a vote of the electors. That was too wordy, and it's not standard in our statutes. What we'll read now, whenever you see this, is if the proposition was to increase the amount of tax originally adopted by electors, period. So it means exactly the same thing. You'll see on the message, there's one on page 3, there's one on page 5, 9, 11, and 15. And they're all identical. So I'd urge your yes vote on this. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone at all? Okay, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 82. A majority of the elected members is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux excused. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Edwards.
Aye.
To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 82. The next message for our consideration is message number 291 on House Bill 291. Chairman Nicholas. That's what I got. Members, that is, and we're all checking, that is not a mistake. That doesn't happen very often where you have the same message as the House bill. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move for concurrence on House Bill 291 and ask for your aye vote. This is a change at page 2, lines 22 and 23, and then goes over to page 3. Basically, it's striking superfluous language. It talks about what the requirements are for contracting on professional architects and engineers. That's required by statute anyway, so there's no reason to have it lined into the statute itself. So it's just superfluous language, so I would move for your concurrence and your aye vote.
Any other members for your first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 291. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kenner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. No. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pieperinen. No. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 291. The next message for our consideration is message number 287 on House Bill 22. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 287 to House Bill 22 and ask for you to vote aye. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll remember this business entity interim committee bill that we had where we were attempting to locate a communications contact. So this there's a country down that connects North and South America, and you remember we may have a big media attention to that country and some LLCs that had businesses around the world. And so as part of that investigation, we wanted to tighten up our communications contact and our business entity laws. Basically what we had is each entity was supposed to have a separate registered agent, but they also needed a communications contact for that entity. We were finding that in some cases the registered agent was also the communications contact, which was inappropriate. And so we set out to have a separate communications contact for that entity. Our good colleagues down the hall saw maybe a possibility for even more nefarious activity that on Romanet 6 on line 19, that when you say it shall be the entity's employee, some of these entities could just go out and hire somebody to be their communications contact who didn't really have any information regarding the entity either. They just knew they got a paycheck and were listed as a communications contact. So the good attorneys down the hall said, you know, we can write this better and tighten it up some. So that would be the amendment, or concurrence, is they just tightened it up to say the employee. We just took out basically that section in Romanet 6 on employee and said the entity's director, officer, limited liability, member, manager, managing partner, trustee. And I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any member for your first time? First time, Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question for the chairman. Oftentimes businesses set up sub-entities or wholly owned entities. And with that, you can elect to be a member-managed LLC, for example. So if I have a corporation and I set up a sub or a subsidiary and I set that up to hold certain assets, I may not have officers. And the member or the manager is that corporation itself, which is just in another shell that you look at. So by eliminating the opportunity for an employee, even if games might be played with that, doesn't seem to strengthen the law to me. I just just get your thoughts on that before we vote. Any other members for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This seems to be quite the substantive change. Because on page 2, lines 19 through 21, we're deleting that when, in fact, the original language said that that they can be a registered agent or employee of an entity's registered agent. And here we're saying that they cannot be. It's like a complete contradiction. I'm inclined to vote against this concurrence. Thank you.
Any other members? First time, Representative Bightman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I have a question on the shall not be. It's a complete change. So on my LLC, it's just me. I'm the only person in my LLC that I own. I would have to hire somebody to get my mail for me. I guess I need some clarification on this for people that are the sole owner of the LLC and they're the only person in the outfit. So vote no unless we get some pretty good answers and some explaining here. Thank you.
Any other members for your first time? Okay, we're going to move to second time. Any members before the chairman? Chairman Greer.
So, Mr. Chairman, the last representative makes a very good point. Oftentimes you are the registered agent of your own business entity, and now this would force us to have to get a separate registered agent, if I'm reading that correctly. Very good point. I would say vote no unless the chairman can answer our questions.
Anyone else? Okay, moving on to Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if you look at page 1, I mean, you can just read Romanet D. All this says, it doesn't matter if you're your own registered agent, you have another registered agent, you just have to have a communications contact person. If you are not actually listed as that contact person, if you're a registered agent and you're not a director, officer, member, manager, managing partner, or trustee, then you have to have a separate communications contact who is. And so, you know, we reviewed this pretty heavily in the interim, and I don't think there's anything nefarious going on. The good people down the hall just said, and if you read the language of the amendment on 2.6, it just says, shall not be an employee of the entity's registered agent. They've really just moved Section 6 and put shall not be this, but it shall be the entity's, you know, Romanets 1 through 5. So really they just did some moving of sections around and took out 6. As actually the concern of the good chairman of minerals, I mean, I guess that's a concern, but it doesn't strike me. If you're not trying to do anything nefarious, you would just say, hey, I'm the communications contact person, regardless if you're a member or manager. So, I mean, we can send it back to conference if that's the body's will, but I don't think it's going to get any tighter. But maybe I can come back and provide better explanation of why our good colleagues down the hall did what they did. But my reading and was speaking of them, they just were trying to prevent the entity who was a nefarious actor from hiring somebody to be their communications person who really, you know, is the same as a registered agent. They know to collect service of process and forward that on to a certain P.O. box somewhere, but they don't know anything else about the entity. So what we're trying to get to is having somebody actually involved with that LLC or that entity who, I mean, knows what's going on in the business, and they can't hide behind a registered agent who has no idea what's going on. So if you want to vote no, we can go concur, and I'll provide you some handouts. But I think what the colleagues down the hall simply did was try to prevent any kind of nefarious activity on taking out employee being that agency's employee, but you can't prove it. So vote your conscience.
We are voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker. No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Bightman.
No.
No. Blackburn. No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey. Aye.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pawnell.
No.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 16 aye, 44 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 22. Conference Committee on House Bill 37. Northrop Chair, Representatives Wilson and Representative Brown. That's on House Bill 37. Conference Committee on House Bill 22. Chairman Zwanitzer, Chair, Representative Sweeney, and Representatives Biteman. Members, we're going to pause. We have a couple very special guests Representative Steinmetz is going to introduce to the Wyoming House of Representatives. And after that, members, we have to get our committee announcements out by 3 o'clock, so we'll move to that order of business. Make sure you have your committee announcements ready by 3 o'clock. And then, members, just one other housekeeping item. As I mentioned last week, I think this is salmon-colored. There's a packet, several pages, with all the interim committee assignments, and you can see how many members there are and who's on it and those kind of things. And I would like you just to go ahead and write, and there's only one of them floating around, and Paige has that, and it's actually in the front row, and I think it's moving this way. It's moving this way, and we'll just keep moving that around the next couple days. And we'll finish that up in the next couple of days, and I'll make those appointments hopefully by the end of the week, early next week. So with that, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, today we have the great honor of honoring two of our local heroes, two firemen from Goshen County. First of all, Bob Pontrollo, and secondly, Bill Law. And so if they would come up front here in front of the podium, and then their family and friends could file in for the presentation. And I just want to read to you. Hi, guys. Welcome to the House. Congratulations, and thank you for your service. We appreciate it. So I want to read to you our proclamations that you'll be signing soon, and I'm going to begin with Bob Pontrollo. So we have a joint resolution providing for recognition of Bob Pontrollo in celebration of his 50th anniversary with the Lingle Volunteer Fire Department. Be it resolved by the 64th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas in 1966, Bob Pontrollo joined the Lingle Volunteer Fire Department, or as he would say, was kidnapped by Kenny Peterson to join the department and has been serving ever since. And whereas in his tenure, Mr. Pontrollo modernized the department with the formation of the Lingle Ambulance Service, construction of the new fire hall, and the purchase of new fire trucks. And whereas during the years of his service, Mr. Pontrollo received many accolades, including the first ever Wyoming State Marshal's Distinguished Fire Service Award in 1994 by Governor Mike Sullivan. The award recognizes someone whose actions not only serve their community, but also have significant impact statewide and nationally in their field. And whereas Mr. Pontrollo served Lingle Volunteer Fire Department as chief for 10 years and has held every office within the department, his volunteerism is not limited to firefighting, but also other community service activities, including providing handiwork for a man who has lost his legs. And whereas, in his rare free time, he enjoys the company of his wife and great-grandchildren, his eldest grandson is following in his footsteps as a member of the Sacramento Fire Department. Even as an honorary member of the Lingle Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Pontrollo continues to answer the call and plans to do so as long as he can. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the State of Wyoming of the Wyoming Legislature that the members of the Wyoming Legislature sincerely recognizes firefighter Bob Pontrollo's 50 years of dedication as a public servant and expresses its appreciation for his extraordinary work to the State of Wyoming. That this resolution be transmitted to Bob Pontrollo as an expression of the Wyoming Legislature's gratitude so Mr. Pontrollo will know the significant impact he has had on the citizens of Wyoming. Thank you, Bob. And also, we want to recognize Bill Law with a joint resolution providing for recognition of Bill Law in celebration of his decades-long service to the Torrington Valley Fire Department. Be it resolved by the 64th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Whereas Bill Law, upon being discharged from the U.S. Naval Service, was admitted to the Yoder Fire Department in 1958. And whereas, upon being elected to the Yoder as the Yoder Fire Chief, a position held until 1962, Bill Law worked to create the first fire protection district in Goshen County. And whereas, in the summer of 1962, Bill Law began his service to the Torrington Fire Department, and through the years held positions as Assistant Fire Chief Secretary, Treasurer, and President. And whereas, since 2004, Bill Law has served as Goshen County Fire Warden and is a longtime member of the Wyoming State Fire Chiefs Association, State Firemen's Association, and Wyoming Rural Firemen's Association. And whereas Bill Law has served on the Eastern Wyoming College Board and on the Torrington City Council, and through this resolution is recognized for his dedication and public service to the citizens of Goshen County and the State of Wyoming. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the State of Wyoming Legislature that the members of the Wyoming Legislature sincerely recognize firefighter Bill Law's 58 years of service and expresses its appreciation for the extraordinary dedication of this public servant, that this resolution be transmitted to Bill Law as an expression of the Wyoming Legislature's gratitude so that Bill Law will know the significant impact he has had on Wyoming. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, members, we're at that order of business. Any committee announcements? Committee chairman? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number six, travel, will not meet tomorrow. All our work is done. However, we will meet with our counterparts in the other end of the building for a joint interim topic meeting at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning in Senate Room number 27. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine, Minerals Business Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. That's Wednesday, February 22nd, in Jonah Room 837. We will hear Senate File 119, Engrossed, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of State Lands. Immediately upon conclusion of that bill, we will consider interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, Education Number 4, will meet Wednesday, February 22nd, upon adjournment in Jonah L54. That's the big one, the 302 lookalike, to consider the following bills. Senate Journal 9, Public School Financing. Senate File 157, Public Education Continuing Contract Teacher Status. And Senate File 165, Engrossed, School Finance Education Funding Reductions.
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet Tuesday, upon adjournment over with our colleagues in the Senate in S-27 on their side to consider interim topics.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet Wednesday, February 22nd, H-37, to consider two bills, Senate File 142, Community Mental Health Payment Reform, and Senate File 88, Palliative Care. We'll also consider interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Appropriations Committee will meet Thursday at noon for Senate File 49, Engrossed. That was a laid back, but we'll be looking at it again. And the Senate File 70, Manufacturing Machinery Exemption Sunset Date. Your Joint House Committee of the Senate File 1, House Bill 1, committee will meet on adjournment and also then on adjournment tomorrow, so on Wednesday.
Okay, thank you. And committee number 12, Rules, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 22nd, upon adjournment in Jonah Room H38 to consider the following bills, Senate File 28, Engrossed, Revisors Bill, Senate File 29, Legislative Employees, and Senate File 108, Engrossed, Lawsuits Challenging State Legislative Acts. Any other announcements? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment to do Senate File 170, Engrossed, Unmanned Aircraft. And our committee will also have an informal discussion on interim topics before we meet with the Senate in a joint committee meeting that will be on Wednesday at 6:10. And I will, it won't be here, but it'll be out where the General Reiner's at. So that'll come up in your box in a bit.
Any other? Vice Chairman Blake.
Your courtesy of committee wanted to remind you just got your bill, should be in your box, $135. You can give it to the pages, write them a check. Mine says 135. Anyways, maybe I ate more than the rest of you. But you need to get those paid as soon as you can and give them to the Curtis Committee or the pages, and they'll take them to Margie. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, members, we're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendment to House bills. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report number 299 on House Bill or Senate File 6. Mr. Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 299 on House Bill 6, radioactive waste storage facilities. And I didn't sign the report. There's a couple of little changes in here. They didn't concur to what we did out of here, and we went ahead and reinserted some struck language on page 5 of the engrossed bill. We put back in throughout the state, the director shall hold public hearings throughout the state to receive comments on the report. We put throughout the state in here in the House. In the conference committee, we left that in there, and we reinserted after throughout the state to the extent practicable. So that's what we did. I still don't like it, but I'll let the body kind of decide how to vote on it.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regards to this amendment, just to add on to what the good majority floor leader just talked about, during the conference committee, it was made clear by the other body that they were actually in favor of what we had done. They just wanted to add to the extent practicable to make sure that we weren't going to find ourselves any kind of lawsuits or anything like that if we didn't have a meeting in every county, so to speak, or something like that. So to the extent practicable, leave some leeway for our director to be able to set up those meetings in a manner that are throughout the state. Like I said, they agreed with what the House's position was in that regard, but just wanted to add to the extent practicable. It's a make sense amendment, and I'd ask you to vote yes on the Joint Conference Committee.
Any other members for their first time? Second time. Any members for the second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask you to vote no, only because I think wherever this facility may or may not be located, if we ever did get one, I think the public meetings ought to be in the county or counties where the facility is located as a minimum. Now, if you want to do it in additional counties, I don't have a problem with that. But at least have a meeting in the county where the facility is located. We don't have that in the bill right now, so I think we ought to go talk to those guys over there.
Okay, we are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report number 299 on Senate File 6. A majority of elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. No. Blake. Aye. Bovee. No. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. No. Byrd. No. Clausen. No. Clem. No. Connolly. No. Court. No. Crank. Aye. Dayton. No. Edwards. No. Eklund. No. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. No. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. No. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. Aye. Pipirinen. No. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. No. Winters.
No. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Madden.
Excused.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 18 aye, 41 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report 299 to Senate File 6. I appoint a second committee. Greer, Chairman Greer, Representatives Burkhart and Representatives Piperinen. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Inoperative liquor licenses, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 14 has an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14, ask for its favorable introduction. You'll remember a long time ago, last Wednesday, we had some discussion from the good chairman of the Labor Committee regarding page 3, line 10. And so our good colleagues down the hall, they moved some definitions around because they said it had circular logic between the definition of operational and giving the license holder at least 1 year. And so they fixed that, but they really didn't make it clear on page 3, line 10, that when you said it has to be open for a consecutive 12 months, there was some concern brought that said, well, after 12 months, what happens? And so what this amendment does is cleans it up to say 12 months in any calendar year. So it basically makes it perpetual that you have to be utilizing a liquor license once your business is up and going. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any discussion on the amendment? Anyone for their first time? Seeing none, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 14. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1, that Senate File 14 has been adopted. Senate File 14 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Special Districts Elections, an act relating to special districts.
I have an amendment. Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is just a cleanup of some language on page 5 of the bill.
Representative Ayer, can you move that amendment?
I move the amendment number 1 to House Bill 16. Senate File 16, excuse me. On page 5, line 14, the board is authorized 2, and then on Romanet double I, we have another 2, and the same thing occurs in the next Romanet 3. There's 2, so they're just, this amendment just takes out the second 2 in that paragraph. And I urge your support for it.
Any other members for their first time? First time, seeing none. We are voting on, question being called, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File 16, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, sponsored by Appropriations, approval of water funds transfer, an act relating to water.
Senate File 51, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66.
Senate File 66. Sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Title 25 Payment Obligations, Federal Entities, an act relating to the hospitalization of mentally ill persons.
We have an amendment. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 66 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 years ago when we looked at this bill last, I guess it was just last week, we had a page 3, line 5, we had a standing committee amendment that moved it from 4 months to 2 months. And this is the amount of time between when a entity could submit a claim and then receive reimbursement. So 4 months is in the engrossed bill. In our standing committee, we went to 2. And then after some discussions, it was thought that 3 would be a more appropriate and more standard within how these entities, these healthcare entities, actually operate in the real world. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration of this 3 month instead of the version from the other saying 4. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any members for your first time? Any further discussion? Seeing none. Waiting for the question. Question being called. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 66. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. It's been adopted. Senate File 66 having been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 133.
Senate File 133, sponsored by Senator Hastert. Postmortem despoiling penalties, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
We have an amendment. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 1 to have Senate File 133 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is really cleaning up the language to cast the net that I think, as we discussed in committee, the intent of the bill. Right now, the bill captures creates a penalty for those mutilating a body during the commission of to conceal a felony, but it doesn't reach as far as disposal of a human body. So this amendment would include disposal of the body into the statute so that if someone either mutilates the body or altogether disposes of it while concealing a felony, that they would be subject to the punishment of that 10-year felony under the statute. I'll open myself up to questions.
Any members for your first time? Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in favor of this, as some of you may know, the genesis of this bill actually comes out of the community in the Northeast that I hail from. And this actually addition speaks to some cases that we've had in the past where this actually occurred. So this is not something that we're trying to make something up. This actually has occurred, where we've disposed or hidden bodies to cover up a crime, a felony crime, and subsequent they were discovered, and prosecution went forward. So this I think is a nice addition, and I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Any other members for your first time? Seeing none, we're moving to second time. Second time for the sponsor? No. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 133. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 133 having been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 147.
Senate File 147, sponsored by Appropriations, Livestock Inspections and Investigators, an act relating to livestock.
Senate File 147 having been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. The yellow sheet you have, we're going to move Senate File 63 down to the regular list. So strike Senate File 63. So the consent list consists of Senate File 27, 56, 62, 67, 69, 102, and 126.
Are there any members wish to have any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read 3 separate times, question is, shall these bills, Chief Clerk will read the bills on the consent list through the enacting clause in the usual manner.
Senate File 27, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Archives, Amendments, an Act relating to archives. Senate File 56, sponsored by Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, an Act relating to water development projects. Senate File 62, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Telepharmacy Amendments, an Act relating to the practice of pharmacy. Senate File 67, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, CHIP Program Amendments, an Act relating to the Child Health Insurance Program. Senate File 69, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments, an Act relating to insurance. Senate File 102, sponsored by Senator Moniz, Board of County Commissioners, Designee Zoning Certificates, an Act relating to Boards of County Commissioners. Senate File 126, sponsored by Senator Coe, Guides and Outfitters Penalties, an Act relating to Guides and Outfitters.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Ayer,
aye.
Flitner,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Furphy,
aye.
Grew,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Haley,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
McGuire, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Ponell, Ponell, oh. Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zawanitzer, Mr. Speaker, 60-I. As for House Bill 27, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60-I. As for House Bill 56, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60-I. As for Senate File 62, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. As for Senate File 67, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60-I. As for Senate File 69, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60-I. As for Senate File 102, are there any changes? Lone? Aye to no. Edwards? Aye to no. Jennings? Aye to no. Steinmetz? Aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56-I, 4-no. As for Senate File 126, are there any changes? Baker, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Clausen, aye to no. Bightman, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Further changes. Blackburn, Aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 46 aye, 14 no.
Having received the affirmative vote, the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 27, 56, 62, 67, 69, 102, and 126 have passed the House. We are now on third reading, regular list. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to Rule 7-3, I'd like to lay back Senate File 37 one day.
Without objection, Senate File 37 is laid back one additional day. We are on...
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Without objection, I would move to move back Senate File 63 for one day.
According to Rule 7-3, without objection, Senate File 63 is laid back one additional day. Any other bills? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker, a question on that, laying back those two bills. Last Thursday, they were both laid back for one day. I don't know that we can lay them back for another day.
I think, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, we're going to take a pause. I'd ask the Rules Committee to come up. I think this will be pretty clear cut, but I'd ask the Rules Committee to come up. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
But we didn't lay it back.
You didn't lay it back to Family Services one, did you?
Thank you.
Caltel. Thank you so much.
I mean, I don't know how.
They didn't print it out. Can't read the
name. I don't care. I don't know if it matters. Check with Wendy. I don't care.
Okay.
All I care about is the count. But, well, I mean, I just shook this, but it's probably getting lower. We need to change it here pretty soon.
Okay, members, House come to order. Okay, on bill number 5, which is Senate File 63, it has not been laid back on third reading for an additional day last week. And absent objection, that bill is laid back. And also Senate File 37, and close reading of the rule and Mason's, it says the bill may be absent objection of the majority of the members, sustained by a majority of the members, a bill can be laid back an additional day. Now, that doesn't mean one time. And so we've run into this a little bit, but the Rules Committee has ruled, and I concur with them, that being laid back one additional day, that can be a motion made every day. And in the end, the body will decide, and if with an objection sustained by the majority of the members here. So Senate File 37 and absent objection and Senate File 63 are laid back one additional day. So we are on Senate. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 15. The reading clerk will please read the bill. Time of Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thanks. So, Mr. Speaker, if we could just get a little clear definition. So when you say barred an objection from the body, does that just mean one person stands up and say I object, or does it have to be by voice?
Representative Larson, there's an objection, and then if it's sustained by a vote of the majority of the members, then the bill would not be laid back. Okay? Okay, we're on Senate File 15. The reading clerk, please read the bill.
Senate File 15, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Special District Budget Requirements, an act relating to special districts. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We have multiple amendments. The first one is Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15, and that's for your favorable consideration. On page 6, beginning with the paragraph beginning on line 4, talks about the special districts providing copies of a lot of documents. Whiteout and copy machines can hide a lot of potentially nefarious activities. And so I would like to propose an amendment beginning on line 17 after administrators, which just inserts the sentence, when consistent with the requirements of this section, all special districts or other specified entities shall produce an original document upon request. I think a lot of accountability and transparency can be achieved if members of the district have access to original documents. And this insertion of this one sentence in that paragraph would do that. So I move your favorable consideration.
Any other members for their first time? Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Senate File 15, third reading amendment number 2, and ask for your favorable consideration. And the purpose of this amendment is it's a nice little cleanup amendment. And I'll be up front with you, I'm against this bill because I think it's premature. We'll take a look at that a little bit later. But I attended part of the meetings with the task force that was assigned to take a look at the important topic of special districts, and also attended the meeting over across the divide where the task force gave their testimony on the results. And I've talked with the co-chairman, and the gist of that conversation is that they believe that this is a topic worth further consideration and further review, perhaps as an interim topic. And if you look at the voting record on the other side, there was an action to try to do that, but that was killed with the vote there. But I'll just read this to you. To me, it makes sense to shorten the language and tighten it up. But if you keep this in the back of your mind as far as what we're trying to do here with this bill, Senate File 15, is it's about budget. The title says budget. But everything about it has to do with remaking the entire process related to special districts across the state. I mean, if we have a problem with one or two of them, fine, let's fix that problem. And one of the key results that came out of the task force review was the important need for training. Folks step up in their community, they volunteer to participate in the special district, they get in there, they don't really know what it is it's all about and what their responsibilities are. So training is very important. Well, let's fix that. But if you walk through the repealers in this bill, and this is what led me to my amendment to try to help fix it here if we can, is if you look at the repealers, it's basically scrapping the entire statute with regard to special districts and rewriting it. I think we need to have government, but we need to have the right government. And if it isn't broken, let's don't break it. So my amendment is as I say, is a nice little cleanup. But basically what it does on page 2, line 19 through 22, is it deletes entirely and inserts the following language. Quote, this chapter applies only to special districts and other local governmental entities that prior to July 1, 2017, were not otherwise required to comply with the Wyoming Public Records Act, Wyoming Statute 16-4-201 through 16-4-205, the public meeting requirements of Wyoming Statute 16-4-401 through 16-4-408, or the budget requirements of Wyoming Statute 91507. And if you walk through the statutes back and forth, what you'll find is that they also refer to the Uniform Municipal Procedures Act. So this gives me pause. And I'm just asking for the body to step back and ask yourself, does it make sense to move forward on this, given that the people who had the task force and did the good work as they were asked to look at this over the last interim, given that they say there's more work to be done? I'm not saying that there's not a lot of good things in this bill, of course, but I'm just suggesting that if you look through the statute of what we already have listed there now, do we really want to take this step and get rid of all that in the interest of well-meaning intended interest of fixing a problem? So the rest of it really is just a cleanup with deleting the two pages of the various special districts that are listed one by one of various forms. And so I would just offer that for consideration, let the body work its will, but I think we want government, but we want good government, we want the right government. So let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in the interest of having something new and calling it good.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm having some difficulty seeing that this is a cleanup. The whole issue here, the whole reason this task force was meeting time after time was to foster a more transparent understanding of what goes on with special districts. There's nothing, devilish about this. It's just something that really needed to be done because people and other government officials didn't know what these were doing. Now, when you look at the amendment, all it does is say, well, all these things on these two or three pages that we've deleted don't have to apply or don't have to abide by the Public Records Act, and that's 180 degrees off of what the conclusions were in the testimony that was given during the interim. I wasn't on the task force, but I followed it carefully. But that's 180 degrees different than what happened and what was recommended to us by this task force.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I agree with what the last chairman just stated, that this is not necessarily a cleanup amendment. If you look at the amendment, it talks specifically that this is going to apply only to special districts and other local government entities that prior to July 1st, 2017, were not otherwise required to comply with Wyoming Public Records Act, public meeting requirements, et cetera. And it also, on the deletions, it strikes all of those types of special districts. So it's going to, essentially, this is going to apply to all sorts of groups that it wasn't going to apply before with this amendment. I don't know that that's the intent of the bringer of the amendment, but that's what it does. So what are we talking about? We're talking about hospital districts. We took them out of this piece of legislation because their budgetary requirements are higher than that of what this of what we hold other special districts to also. Irrigation districts, back in the bill. So vote no on this one. This is a unintentional, I think. And if it was the intention to kill the bill, that's why we run delete the enacting clauses.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Not too much to add. I do agree with the last two speakers against the amendment. I think the intent's good, and the good representative did come to some of these meetings, and there is some work to be done in the future. Whether or not we'll take up another interim study, I'm not sure. But continuing the task force, that effort did fail, and so this is what we have before us today. I did just want to point out on page 5, on lines 13, what we're talking about is incorporating all these entities where their principal act is silent or unclear. So all you're doing is really putting in the public records and the public meetings aspects. Almost all of these special districts already have that in their principal acts. This just says, hey, there's a floor. You're all required to do the Uniform Fiscal Municipal Procedures Act, the Public Meetings Act. And so I think it's pretty well covered the way the bill is written now in this area. But I do agree that you would bring back 3 or 4 special districts that we exempted from this section because they already have more onerous requirements or they go before the district court, not before the Department of Audit. So I would also ask you to resist the amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Moving to second time, any members before the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate the good debate and the comments of my more experienced colleagues. I'm against the bill. I'll be upfront about that because I think it's premature. And I think it's duplicative as to what's in the statutes now. There's need. I don't think this bill addresses that need. If you look, and I spent quite a bit of time going back and forth through the statutes, following various references back and forth. If you look through that and you follow through it, I would ask, what's broken that this is trying to fix? And if something's broken, does this actually fix it? Because if training is the problem, I don't see training talked about in here. And it talks about budget, but you don't really get the budget until you look at the sections of, I think it's 401 to 404. It's about 14 different sections of new law, new statute that's talking about budget. And given that the task force members, that the two co-chairmen indicated that there's more work to be done, and the former speakers have already underscored that, I would suggest to the body that this is our opportunity to take pause and maybe allow this another opportunity during the interim to be better for in terms of the statute and what's broken and what needs to be addressed. And I ask for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 2 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 15. And members, everyone received a piece of email this weekend with a concern that we were actually going to require some of these special districts to post a notification anytime, an official notification, which means in the newspaper, those types of things, anytime that they actually transferred funds from fund to fund, inter-fund type of transfers. So I just wanted to clean that up. The intent of the legislation when speaking with those that were on the task force was to specifically just make sure that there was some type of a notice out there. So that's exactly what this amendment does. It removes the public notification aspect or how it can be looked at. So if you turn to page 16, line 8, and we'll walk that through. Sorry, I didn't have my bill open. So we're deleting after publication of notice of its intended action, the governing body of a special district, or others. Oh, pardon me, I'm lost on my own amendment here. Yeah, all the way through. So we delete all the way through action. So we're deleting after publication of notice of its intended action. So that's gone. Then we start with the governing body of a special district or other specified entity may by resolution transfer any unencumbered, yada yada. The important part is notice under this section shall be provided pursuant to the requirements of Wyoming Statute 1612.304b. So 1612.304b actually refers to 1644.04 if you go specifically to that statute. So that's why we're inserting that 1644.04. And 1644.04 specifically talks about what are, I'll read off the title of that for you, 1644.04 is types of meetings, notices and recess. So that specifically refers to the types of meetings that require notices and those types of aspects. So this just clarifies that this is just a notice that you're not actually having to do anything extra in regards to transfer of inner funds. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Anyone else? First time? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. And I completely agree with the good vice chairman of corporations. You did receive an email and some concerns, and we aren't trying to add an extra layer of bureaucracy, and I think this just clears it up. Instead of going to one statute which relates to another statute which relates to a third statute, we're just going to write 1644.04, and there's no additional burden now. There was never intended to be an additional burden, but this certainly cleans it up to ensure that there isn't.
Any other members? Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a question to the bringer of the amendment. On page 16, it refers to notice under this section shall be provided, and so on and so forth, pursuant to this 1612.404, which is proposed. And I'm assuming that's the new 1612.404 that we're considering. I cannot see anywhere in there. Well, I'll word it differently. Could you help me with where in there it refers to notice? In that page 12 is where it starts in the bill.
Okay. Any other?
Probably misreading.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Representative.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Any other members for the first time? First time, moving to second time before the sponsor. For the sponsor, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to answer the question specifically on 1644.04, 1644.04 is existing statutory language. We don't mess with that in this piece of legislation. But what it refers to when we're talking about notices, it specifically speaks to under C, the governing body of an agency may recess any regular, special, or recess regular special meeting to a place at a time specified in order to recess. A copy of the order of the recess has to take place. It specifically speaks to you have to take minutes and you have to post those minutes. So within those minutes, if any interfund transfers happen, that's going to be, at that time, it'll be within those minutes. So creating no duplicative service, no special requirements. And with that, I hope for an aye vote.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 3 has been adopted. We are on third reading amendment number 4. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 15 and ask for your favorable consideration. Body, what we're doing is on page 14, line 1 through 12, we're going to delete that. And then we're going to add, the Board of County Commissioners may prepare and provide upon request to any special district or other specified entity a training manual. And my reason for doing this is, first of all, as far as on Romanet double I, Verification of elections, that's already done by the county clerk. Public meetings, these entities are still under the public meeting laws that every other public body that deals with public funds are. And the board member training, I just find that all cumbersome. And then their minutes should already be a matter of public record. And so I would just like to delete that and provide for a training manual and relieve some of the extra work for the county commissioners and for these local boards. Thank you.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was on the Special Districts Task Force. The good bringer of the amendment discussed what she intended to do with me, and I appreciated that. The meeting that we're referencing here on page 14 is not an automatic meeting. It's an optional meeting that the Board of Commissioners may request. And the things that they're proposing in paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 there, while they seem just so uber basic, why would we even bother with them? That's the whole point of the meeting. There's 671 special districts in the state, and one of the thrusts of the task force was to try to deal with the bottom 0.5%, 1% of these special districts that might not be good operators. So a meeting such as this that the Board of Commissioners might request would be just to discuss these very basic things that, believe it or not, some special districts are not doing. Not everybody's doing a budget out of all 671. Not everybody's even holding elections in some cases. The minutes are sketchy where they're posting them. You know, they may be hard to find. So the task force was trying to ramp up transparency and balance and equity in how special districts operate around the state and help the public to follow them and see how their tax dollars are being spent. So I offer some gentle pushback to this amendment.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Also some gentle pushback to the amendment. And, you know, in lines 3 through 5, I really like what the bringer of the amendment is trying to do, because that's actually important, but LSO told me I couldn't divide it the way it's written. Because really the concern, and one of the new things, you know, most of this bill really isn't anything new and revolutionary in special districts, contrary to what your emails may say, but something that is the board member training. And I think there's a lot of discussion. They had 7 interim meetings, you know, how do you mandate training, what you're going to training, and they said, hey, it's best left to each special district to do training in whatever they see fit, but it has to be something. We have almost 700 special districts, you know, and I don't foresee, and, you know, I could be wrong come a year from now, but the Board of County Commissioners is going to be calling in special districts left and right. This is really for extraordinary means. You know, the Board of County Commissioners, they have enough going on, too. They don't want to be calling in special districts. The problem we have right now is when you have a special district and you try to contact them, in some cases, you can't get a hold of anyone. We heard lots of testimony from the Department of Audit. You know, in one case, we've had a special district for 20 years, and all it was is a bookkeeper. They didn't have... they were supposed to be having, you know, elections and public meetings, but the bookkeeper just sent out notices, people paid the fees, and everything was running along just fine until they said, well, have you done elections? Have you had public meetings? And they say, well, no. And so I would agree that all this is required, right? They're supposed to have verification of elections and public meetings in a proposed budget, but that's not always the case. And so when our department has gone through, they have 2 cases pending right now of fraudulent activity. And this is really that last step that's available to the county commissioners, because they don't have authority, right? And actually, even in this bill, if you have a district board member who's doing nefarious things, and if you can't arrest them, there's no way to get rid of a director of a special district until the next election cycle. We don't have any process in law to do that. And so this is maybe the only process or remedy available in those extraordinary situations where you have a special district that may or may not be operating outside the bounds of their enabling legislation, but there is some concern. And I'll tell you, when there's concerns, you can't get a hold of the special district, or you don't know, you know, why the special district, who's on it, you go to the county commissioners, right? That's the point you go to complain to in all these cases. So the county commissioners right now are like, well, you know, we don't have any power to really oversee these unless they're a county commissioner appointed special district. They can come to the legislature once a year and we can try to crack down. They can go to the Department of Audit and ask for an audit, which is expensive. But really this is the one kind of intermediary tool that says, you know, if there's a lot of complaints, the Board of County Commissioners can call in a special district and just say, hey, just verify with us in a public meeting that we hold that all these things are happening. And so that's one of the few cases we have that county commissioners can actually try to do some level of investigation. I think I'll leave it at that for now.
Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I guess I'm getting a little confused. I heard earlier at the last amendment that this is a simple bill about simple cleanup and, you know, codifying law and putting it all together. Now I'm hearing a different, kind of a different story about what this bill is about. So I guess as a former commissioner, I would stand and say I think this amendment is a good, well-thought-out amendment. And given the benefit of the doubt and allowing for training, which I think is the purpose of this, to help our special districts and not turn them into criminals. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too am opposed to this, and only in this sense, is that if you look at what's being deleted here, it just says that no longer, or I should say that the governing board would have no right to ask somebody to come in and explain the budget or explain the verification of elections or verify there's minutes taken. These are not Herculean jobs to do. And to me, the amendment we have before us now is not a substitute for this, because it just says that if they want to, the commissioners can just pass out a training manual, and I don't see how one of them or the amendment covers the intent of what the original language is on page 14. So I'd oppose this. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think it helps tighten up an otherwise complex and loose bill. Honestly, though, I don't know that even with the amendment, it's going to be enough for me to vote in favor of this bill. Honestly, this bill, I'm not sure it's ready for prime time. It's addressing a major issue that we have, and I appreciate the task force, the committee, all the hard work that's gone into it. But I think each and every one of you have to first ask yourselves if you read this, and then second, if you read it, if you understand exactly what's being given to the county commissioners versus what shouldn't be given to county commissioners. A previous speaker, the chairman of corporations, spoke a lot about how there's no remedy, there's no process available, so let's just create a process for county commissioners. Well, and he talked about some other solutions. Well, we could bring something into the legislature if there's a great concern. We could bring something in front of the Department of Audit if there's a great concern.
Make sure our debate is not directed at another member. Thank you.
So just making sure you understand the impetus of the comments. Nothing ill will meant towards the good chairman of corporations. But the point is that there was an entity missing from that list of entities that can provide you with remedies. It's called the courts. And you received a memo on this issue, and for nearly 100 years, the courts have provided oversight to special irrigation district budgets and remedies. So why are we now saying that we want special districts to fall under the guise of the county commissioners? Why do we want the county commissioners to review the budgets? Why do we want county commissioners to search for remedies when we have a perfectly acceptable branch of government to do that? It's called the courts. So does the current statute scheme do that? Absolutely not. Would we need to provide that both standing, a process, remedy, teeth, everything in the statutory process to bring that before courts to review? Yeah, I think we would. But I tend to favor that method. I think that if you're going to have a body exercising discretion with potential penalties, I would rather it be a court than a Board of County Commissioners. So on and against the bill, most likely, but in favor of the amendment, because I believe it does tighten it up, although maybe some other amendments may be needed.
Representative Larson Dan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm in favor of the amendment, and at the present time, not so excited about the bill. I've been on a fire district before, and I think they're doing their best they can. I think the most important part of this is that they may need some training, and if that's what these commissioners are asking for, then why don't they provide it? There are, like everyone's saying, there's 671
special districts, and just a number that was shot out on an email, it adds up to like 2,350 volunteers that are taking their time out of their busy lives to go to these meetings monthly, and they're trying to do their best. And if training's the important part, let's get them the training.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment. And specifically, I want to mention something. One of the prior individuals talked about how this amendment would help clean up the situation for irrigation districts. Irrigation districts are not part of this bill. You can see who's part of this bill on pages 3 and 4. Irrigation districts were brought out specifically for the purpose because irrigation districts are controlled by the judicial branch. Speaking directly to this amendment, we talk about training and we talk about a proposed budget and minutes. These are all things that are being taken out by the amendment, and these are all things that should be required any time you're spending government money or taxpayer money. Pardon me. This is taxpayers' money. We're not affecting little Joe here. That's just an average citizen. Granted, these are volunteers that are for a board, but they are an arm of the government, and they are spending taxpayer money. We should have requirements in place that do require our governmental entities, the arms that we all deal with every day, to be transparent, to be accountable. And this is all this is asking for. And who else? Who else is going to do this? We've heard mentioned that maybe the courts should do it over the county commissioners. The courts are not elected. The county commissioners are an elected official, much like yourselves are. They can be held accountable. The courts cannot be held accountable. Vote against this amendment, please. Let's keep the accountability in place and the transparency in place.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having served on this task force also, I wish that we could go through it in detail and list some of the testimony that we heard, but of course we can't do that. So I'm on and against the amendment. I think there's some belief that maybe the county commissioners brought this to us, that they wanted us to do this, but that's not the case. It was primarily as a result of the very large taxpayers, the mineral extraction industry, that want some kind of transparency for the money that they're putting out. And so all the county commissioners do is to provide an opportunity for that transparency. They aren't charged with any oversight over the various entities. And we did talk an awful lot about the training part of that, and the training part certainly is a necessary thing, but there was each entity is so different that it's difficult to provide a training manual that covers everything. The conservation districts have a very good framework that they use for a training manual, and they've offered to share that information with us to develop one. We have no assurances that this task force is going to continue beyond what it is now. And so if we were to continue that, I think that would be the next thing that we would actually be doing is to look at that training manual and try to develop at least a framework for that that could be customized for each one of the various entities that would be dealing with that. So I'm on and against the amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Any other members first time? Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I tried to get on the task force, didn't make it on the task force. I wanted to see special districts looked at, as I used to be one of those that was in the position to where we created them on some of them, and that's where I wanted them to be looked at, was on those that the county commissioners made, those districts only. We had a lot of problems with them, with those districts. They were our own making, and we had to dissolve a lot of them after they quit holding elections. The problem that they had with the others that you see on the long list, if there are bad players, there are very few, and I believe that in those that are not created by the county commissioners should not be on this list, period. We had a bad example in our community of a cemetery district that went kind of off on their own as one of the others that brought theirs before it, but it was all taken care of at the next election when they had their elections. The voters can take care of the problems that they see, and they can do it correctly. They don't have to have a whole bunch of legislation made to make criminals out of those that aren't bad players. And the penalties that they have in here, there are very few of the players that are in this, of the districts that are out there, the 600 and some districts, are very few bad players. And throw them all in the same pen together, I don't think's right, and I don't think those that have elections ought to be underneath the county commissioners. On and for the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time before the sponsor. Second time before the sponsor. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks. Just some cleanup. So everything in this amendment that they're trying to delete, these are requirements. And I found it always kind of funny when I was in here, and I've seen members bring statutes that say you have to do what the statutes already say. And I always thought that was kind of weird and ironic. And if they're not following the law now, why would we have another statute? This doesn't do that. This just says that you have an option that the county commissioners can have a public hearing and force a special district in. So if we're talking about one of these special districts that the county commissioners already appoint the board members, they can do this. They can dissolve it. I mean, they have these tools. What we're talking about are these other special districts that are accountable to their taxpayers. But if their taxpayers can't get a hold of them, what do the taxpayers do? I mean, we have this off-quip of no taxation without representation. What we're trying to do here is say, hey, we're going to make sure there's people in charge of your special district, that your tax assessment is going somewhere valid, that there are people who are looking out for your interests. They're taxing you, and yes, this is brought at the behest in some ways of the largest taxpayer in our state that just keeps getting taxed on all these mills, and they want some accountability, and they can't get a hold of the people who are taxing them. And so I don't, once again, this is at the request, if you read on line one, the request of the Board of County Commissioners. And I would submit to you, county commissioners usually have better things to do than request one of these entities come in and have an actual public meeting to just verify that they're making a budget, that they've had elections, that they're following the public meetings law, and that they have minutes. The only new thing that we're really asking the special district to do is say that they've had some type of board member training. And I guess that is a policy decision for the body. Do you want people who oversee over $1 billion in taxpayer dollars in this state to have some type of board member training at the behest of their own district? I would submit that you do. And, you know, we're not mandating what training is. So if your fire district says, hey, you know, you have to do 1 hour of how to put out a fire or how to drive a fire engine, you know, I think they can get away with that because it just says training of some way, shape, or form. It just says they have to have something. So you can't get elected to one of these and say, yeah, I'm going to go serve on this special district board and have no responsibilities on you. And I agree they're volunteers, but they're volunteers with taxpayer money. I think that covers everything. And, again, I do really like the issue of we need to have some type of training. And I know that was discussed very often. And if there is a way to divide this, I would submit that we actually probably should have a budget amendment to provide some funding for that training if the government is mandating they do that. But that's not contemplated right now in this bill. But at this point, I'd ask you to defeat the amendment and, you know, say that there's some accountability on special districts and the one accountability option, the only real tool that we have without a district court going to the district court, I suppose, is that, hey, there's one step before that. Call it arbitration, call it what you will, but it just says, hey, you have to have a public hearing to say you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, and the Board of County Commissioners can ask you to do one of those public meetings in conjunction with the Board of County Commissioners, and you can sit down in a public meeting and talk about all these things. I think that's important. You're talking about taxpayer dollars. I hope you do, too.
Anyone else for their second time for the sponsor? Moving to the sponsor, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'd ask you to shake the dust off your bill now since we've been debating for a while and go to page 13. And it says at the bottom under budget hearings, at the request of the Board of County Commissioners and prior to adopting a budget, special districts or other specified entities shall hold a pre-hearing with the county commissioners. So they can already request that pre-hearing in this section of the bill that we have not touched. And then also in on page 15, adoption of the budget on line 22, prior to adopting the budget, the county commissioner may veto in whole or in part line items of the budgets presented by special districts or other specified entities whose entire governing body was appointed by the county commissioner. So they do have a lot of, and that's existing language, they do have a lot of authority already. So I'm asking you to vote for this amendment and clean this up a little bit. The amendment, again, does provide that the special district may request the training manual from the county commissioners, which was local control. The local county commissioners can provide that input to them. And so I'm still a little shaky on this bill myself, but I took some advice to heart. We had a distinguished panel of speakers up here that used to be speakers of the House, and one of them from Alaska now said, try to make every piece of legislation better. And so that's what I'm doing with this amendment, and I'd ask you to vote for it. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 5. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 15. Ask for its favorable introduction. This is a cleanup amendment, I hope. The good chairman of labor caught this, that currently on page 10, line 7, we're referencing A7 instead of A8. A7 is the revenues and expenditures each fiscal year. Section 8 is the budget. And so hopefully it's just I talked to LSO, and they agree that it should reference 8. This is a law we passed in 2014, and it just conforms better to be in 915078. I'd ask for your favorable agreement.
Question being called. We are voting on third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 5 has been adopted. Senate File 15, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. No. Barlow. No. Weitman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. No. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Guru. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Lauchs. No. McGuire. No. Madden. Aye. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. No. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. No. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 32 aye, 28 no.
Senate File 15, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 15 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Speech Pathology and Audiology, an act relating to speech pathology and audiology. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 44 and ask for your favorable consideration. I meant to get this in on second reading, but couldn't beat the rush out of town. I consider it really just a cleanup, and it's unusual that I do cleanups because I'm not in the energy sector or the ranching sector, and so there's not usually there very much for me to clean up. But on the bottom of page four, and then it replicates on page six, there it's really the same thing twice. This was just people often use the word translation to mean something that it isn't actually, and so I have, and I can explain that further if you want to, but I don't want to go on for too long. So on line 20, after it says provide bilingual translation, so I inserted interpretation and translation after consultation with the professionals here for screening, and then on line 22, exclusive of clinical interpretation. And the issue is just that they're actually talking about two separate things using the same word, clinical interpretation of the assessment of the person's speech and language capabilities. At the same time here, they were actually referring to having a person interview, and if a person were speaking, you know, a foreign language, and so I was just trying to tidy that up so that it would actually reflect actual practice, and I will be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I move the amendment and ask for an aye vote.
Any further discussion? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 44. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number one has been adopted. Senate File 44 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read? Shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Barlow.
Aye.
To no. Further changes? Henderson.
Aye.
To no. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 10 no.
Having Senate File 44, Senate File 44, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 44 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Veterans Hiring Preference, an act relating to veterans. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 53. I propose this amendment for two reasons. Number 1, I have learned that the 5-point advantage given to veterans in the amended bill is not clearly universal throughout the state government agencies. It is kind of a muddle. Some don't use a point or percentage system at all. In fact, I couldn't find one that did. The bill as currently amended gives the veteran his or her an advantage only in the ability to get an interview, not to be hired. Doesn't anyone have the opportunity to get an interview assuming that they meet the qualifications for the position? This is an advantage without a difference. My amendment proposes that the point advantage be given to veterans for hiring purposes, and that a similar 5% advantage be given to them in cases where the point system is not used, also for the purpose of being hired. This gives the non-veteran a fair shot at the position, yet gives a veteran appropriate recognition for his service. On and for your favorable consideration of the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question here, and this, again, may be one of those unintended consequences that we look at here, but if you go on to the amendment here, if you go down to line 34, it says a veteran means a member of the United States military establishment honorably discharged from service. My only concern with that is if you retire from this any service, you're not discharged. You retire. And so putting this piece into there, you are then basically eliminating any retirees from being able to take advantage of this. Now, I think the amendment is actually in good faith, and I think that that's it. But I guess my question is that the intent here is to withdraw those people from the capability, or is this something that we're trying to make sure that it's just a good guy who left the service and didn't leave underneath bad issues? So if I could get some clarification for that, I'd appreciate it.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So first I want to maybe respond to that. And that language, actually, the one thing that survived this third reading amendment from the second reading amendment is the two definitions on the bottom of page 1. So if it's incorrect, the discharged language is incorrect. It's incorrect in the current version as well, because that was part of the second reading amendment. So for that, I guess what I want to focus a little more precisely on is the interview versus employment aspect of this. The third reading amendment is giving the employment, the offer for employment to benefit, if I'm understanding it correctly, not the interview benefit. And then the second thing, when we're talking about whether there's a point system or not, if you'll recall from the second reading amendment, we have within the current bill, within the engrossed bill, on page 3, lines 14 through 21, it talks about preference when there is no system, but yet there was no equivalency to the point system, if you will. And so I guess we're losing the equivalency and with this amendment, and we are changing the intent or the process, which this is a policy call, whether it's interview or employment preference. The definitions are the same, and so I don't see that as a detriment to this amendment. But the other two components are certainly making one a policy call, and two, taking out that equivalency, which, as we talked through this on second reading, I thought there was some interest. The third thing I would offer is that when you look at the definition of public department, and the good bringer of the amendment talked about in state and the government, the statewide government doesn't have, maybe not using this, but look how many other entities we're now pulling into this. We're pulling basically every subdivision of the state, and we have no idea what those entities may or may not be doing when it comes to this preference. So I would urge just consideration of the amendment is making a couple of fundamental changes from the bill as it came to us even and as it stands now. Thank you.
Any other members for the first? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, one of the things that I've kind of watched as this bill has proceeded is this use of veterans getting a preference and or their surviving spouses. And I've struggled a little bit with that. And when I think of that, I think that it's right, that if you've got a spouse that has been married to a veteran and has gone through all of the deployments and the issues and raising families or being separated, and I just don't have any problem with them being able to have that that preference. But where I struggle is if that surviving spouse comes along after the veteran has been honorably discharged or retired, maybe the marriage that or the spouse that endured all the hardships of deployment and being separated has, for whatever reason, be it death, divorce, or whatever, is no longer there. And so we're treating this new spouse who hasn't had to endure those difficulties, we're giving them that preferential treatment. And I'm struggling with that. I don't know that I think that that's appropriate. And so I'm just sharing with it. I don't know if anybody else is, but I think that that needs a little more clarification or to encourage you maybe to defeat this amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, just because I went out and did some research with some individuals that have retired from the military, and it's true, they do not get discharge paperwork when they retire from the military, so this would effectively cut them out. I know that's not the intent of the good doctor that brought this amendment, but I think we should quickly defeat this amendment, move on, because that's effectively what it does.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment gets us away from what we were trying to do in the first place, which was change the statutes to conform with what our people who are doing the hiring, the process that they use to hire. They were unable to fit veteran preference into their hiring process the way it was written in the statute. So we revised it. The preference is only given to the in the interview process, and that way they would get this preference. As far as the surviving spouse, that's in old statute, and I would hope we'd defeat this amendment and pass a bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? First time before the sponsor. First time, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, there's been several discussions here about retirement versus, getting discharged. It's an issue that's not necessary to this. It's germane to this bill. A lot of concern raises over officers versus enlisted. We as officers maintain our status. We don't retire, which is what somebody mentioned, a previous speaker. So, but regardless, it's germane to this topic. This topic is getting a preference when somebody leaves the military, and should we give them that preference regardless of their status if they've served honorably? And the answer there is yes. So, on and for the bill, against the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time on the amendment? First time on the amendment? Okay, we're going to second time before the sponsor, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I speak in the context of current statute. The amendment certainly makes some alterations, but the current statute, with this bill, we're actually expanding the opportunity for military members and confining it just a little bit for the surviving spouse component. So actually, if you look at this as a benefit, and I'm trying to speak to the amendment. The amendment, I don't think, changes that a lot because the definition stays the same. If you recall from the second reading amendment, the definition stays the same. It really has to do with that component. When do you want the advantage given? At the pre-employment portion, the pre-employment interview type thing, or upon employment, the benefit of employment? So I think that's the question. Both, I think, this bill, whether this amendment is adopted or not, both this bill improves what we offer to veterans overall over current statute. So for the bill, thank you.
Any other members, second time for the sponsor? Moving to, okay, Chairman Eklund.
One quick point of clarity. The present system of hiring doesn't work. The only way that we can give a veteran preference would be in the interviewing end of things. So this amendment does change the bill substantially, I think. And I'd encourage a no vote on the amendment.
Any other members? Second time for the sponsor. Moving to the sponsor, Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, this amendment, simply restores the Senate bill. The Senate bill said that the preference was available for veterans. And this is simply a restoration of the Senate bill. It's not anything new. I would say that another reason to support this amendment is the effect it would have on school districts. I don't know the percentage of teachers who are veterans, but I suspect that it is very low. This file would apply to those schools, school districts, and their teachers. What if the preference in this file increased the percentage to 20% from the 5% that I believe applies that are veterans now? I suspect that this would be a very good thing. The entire atmosphere of schools, of the school campus, could be changed. And veterans, for the following reasons. Veterans know the need for discipline and would uphold that in their classrooms. Veterans are patriotic and would represent that virtue to their classes. Veterans are goal-oriented. These and many other virtues would be instilled in our youth and are much needed, as evidenced by the behavior that we see on TV nightly from the young people. So, I think that this bill, or this amendment, improves the bill. It adds the idea that we are going to be hiring these people, and they are veterans, and they deserve preference. And I urge your vote in favor of this, of the amendment and the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. We are on third reading amendment number 2. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move third reading amendment number 2 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is just a cleanup from the second reading amendment we had yesterday. You'll notice the same language is in the top of the amendment we just passed. So this is basically cleaning up the short title of the bill to conform to what it actually does based on the second reading amendment. No questions, I'd call for the question. Thank you.
Any members for the first time? Seeing none, we're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 53. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Third reading amendment number 2 has been adopted. Senate File 53. Haven't been read 3 separate times. Question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem. No. Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards. Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings. Aye. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 10 no.
Senate File 53, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 53 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 118.
Senate File 118, sponsored by Senator Dockstader. Food Freedom Act, sales locations. An act relating to the Food Freedom Act. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 118 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Excused. Bightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen. Excused. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Senate File 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 118 has passed the House. Members, we are going to work committee of the whole until 5 p.m., whether that's one bill or 10 bills or however it goes. We'll work till 5. And with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the first three bills for our consideration this afternoon will be Senate File 105, 32, and 42, and we'll just continue on the list if we can get to that many. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Representative Ayer.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 105. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 105, introduced by Senator Scott, Uniform Power of Attorney Act, an act relating to powers of attorney. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Burkhart, Vice Chairman.
You have heard the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 105 do pass. For the explanation of the bill, our good colleague from House District 11.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, folks, I'm going to apologize in advance because this is a lengthy bill in front of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to walk through it page by page. And then when you get, I'm going to give you a general overview real quick. Then I'm going to walk through it page by page. And if you just yell question at me, I'll stop. So it'll be up to you when you've had enough, but I want you to be comfortable with the bill because it is a big bill. So that's going to be up to the body. But as a whole, what this bill does is it takes existing law, power of attorney existing law. We have 3 statutes that govern powers of attorney in Wyoming law. This bill repeals 2 of those 3 laws and replaces it with a Uniform Power of Attorney Act. And in essence, what that does is it clarifies and then specifies our existing power of attorney laws. And so just real quick, a power of attorney, I hope everyone has some familiarity with that, but what it is it's a document in law that you can use to govern incapacity during your lifetime. You give a person who is your agent authority to act on your behalf for your financial matters. And so if you were to look at our current statutes, 3-5-101, 102, and 103, that govern power of attorney, I think what you would find is that they're sparse, they're wholly inadequate, they've been described as all of the above. And if you read those, even as a non-attorney, any one of you can read those 3 statutes and figure out that you don't know what you can do with the power of attorney or can't do. If you read those statutes, I think you'd have to ask yourself, what are the powers of an agent? Go ahead, pick up your book right now. Read it and ask yourself, what are the powers of an agent? What are the duties of an agent? What's a fiduciary duty of an agent? What are my remedies when my grandson runs away with my finances? What are my remedies? Read the statutes. The reality is that they don't provide any guidance in those areas. They simply tell us that we can create powers of attorney, and they basically tell us how we can revoke those powers of attorney. And then it's up to you to go and hire an attorney who knows what a power of attorney by consequence can do, and then you rely on that attorney to protect your finances. And then as an agent, once you get a hold of it and you're the grandson, same thing. What can I do with this document? And so you have to go and probably hire an attorney and figure out exactly what you can and can't do with it. And I'll give you just a couple chief examples. Number 1 is medical. I can't tell you as an attorney, and I think the good country lawyer or the good capital city attorney can attest to this as well, that oftentimes folks believe that they can govern medical decisions in a power of attorney, and they can't. It's a whole different ball game, a whole different set of statutes, a whole different pleading. And so, but if you look at your statutes, they don't say that. So you may think that with a power of attorney alone, I can make the medical decisions for my dad, but you can't. And so this is one area that the bill would clarify. So as a whole, because the statutes are so sparse, there was a task force created that investigated elder abuse, and what it found was basically that our powers of attorney in Wyoming are a license to steal. That's what they really are. And so the act, what it's going to do is mitigate that license to steal. All right. Three overarching things that this Uniform Power of Attorney Act is going to do. One, it's going to, like I said, it's going to address elder abuse and fraud. It's going to create provisions for enforceability when you have elder abuse or fraud. And then three, it does something else that's kind of unique that I really like about it, and it's the do-it-yourself law. What this Uniform Act would do is actually make it easier to get a power of attorney. You wouldn't need a lawyer because it has a 16-page statutory form in here, and I'm going to walk you through that form, but the reality is that with that form, you could do everything that you need to do to protect your estate and your assets and not need an attorney to necessarily guide you through that. And why is that a good thing? Well, as an attorney, I may not like that because that impacts my pocketbook, but here's the reality. We're already losing in this realm to certain websites that are do-it-yourself websites where you pay $100 and you print off a form and you say go. And the problem with that is those forms are not necessarily state-specific. Or when they are, and you have sparse statutes like Wyoming, they don't do you any good. You don't know what you can do with it and what you can't do with it. And the consequence often is that you get a one-page power of attorney that says, hey, you can do everything as my agent that I could do myself if I weren't incapacitated. Well, you know, that can be very dangerous. And if you bring that to mom or dad or grandma or grandpa and they sign it, and then grandma and grandpa or mom and dad doesn't realize which type of powers they just gave you, i.e. some of the powers in here, they're called hot powers, and we'll walk through those. You may have just given away hot powers, which are extreme powers to do things like change your trust, take out a life insurance and name yourself as a beneficiary. So you have to ask yourself, are those good things? Well, they might be in your individual scenario, and you can still do that under the Uniform Power of Attorney Act. But under the current law, with the do-it-yourself forms, you can be giving away those powers left and right and not even realize what you're giving away. And that's where the elder abuse really comes into play. All right. Well, so this, if you break this 100-page bill down, it really breaks down into four sections. First 35 pages are really substantive. Then we have another 34 pages of really default rules, and which only will come into play as gap fillers if you and your power of attorney don't specify otherwise. There's a 16-page form and then 6 pages miscellaneous. So when you really think about it, you got about 35 pages of substantive law, so it's really not going to take me that long to walk you through those pages. So looking at the and maybe it takes more than one question yelled out, but if I hear enough, I'll give up here, guys. I really will. All right. Just turning first to the second page, we start in Article 1. These are our definitions on the second page. Yep, 102, listing our definitions. 103, starting on page 6, is the applicability. What this act says is that it's going to apply to all powers of attorney except, and then there's a list that it's not going to apply to. For example, one is the power to make health care decisions. Well, I just explained to you that a power of attorney doesn't govern health care decisions, but our statutes don't say that. Now we are. So that's pretty straightforward. Next is 104. The power of attorney is durable. This is unique. So you should know that what this means is that every single power of attorney after this act in the state of Wyoming will be durable. What is durable? Durable means that it survives incapacity. So you could specify otherwise. I prefer cheese between my crackers here, guys. You could specify otherwise if you want to. So I want you to key in, at least look at line 14 with me here on page 7. The language, unless it expressly provides. That's important because throughout this bill, you're going to see that language in every other statute. And what that should do is give you complete comfort and ease that there's nothing nefarious or an extreme change in law going on, because it means that you have the freedom of contract with your power of attorney. You can at any point in time create a power of attorney that does whatever you want it to do, and if you don't know what you want it to do, you default to these. So sections 111 through 115 provide more defaults, again, the gap fillers that I'm talking about. Section 116 and 117 address misconduct and provide teeth. So what that means is that in this bill, see, currently under state law, if you have a power of attorney and you suspect that someone is misusing your power of attorney, you actually have no remedy outside a civil tort of conversion or fraud or whatever it may be. This bill actually creates standing, allows you to take it to court. It provides remedies. It tells you exactly what that remedy is to be made whole, and then could provide for attorney's fees as well. We're almost done. Section 119 and 120, again, impose that liability, but in a different context on third parties. So what is that? Well, we actually have institutions in Wyoming who deny a power of attorney as a routine act because they want it to conform to their special form that they have inside their inner workings, which may be a national form, honestly. This bill actually says that those institutions can't do that anymore. They can't deny those those powers of attorney if they comply with the Uniform Power of Attorney Act. They have to accept it. And if they do deny it, we have standing to enforce the power of attorney. Of course, if they fall within the statute and have some other means, like a fraud base, they can deny it. All right. We're almost there. Okay, agent's authority, 201 through 217. These are primarily your defaults. If you read through them, they're going to talk about personal property, real property, you name it. And those are all rules that will apply if you don't specify in your Power of Attorney Act otherwise. Pages 72 through 88 is your statutory form. If you look through that form, it's a checkbox form. You can actually check the powers that you want. You'll see a section that says caution, caution. And then it lists the hot powers. Those are some of the powers I referenced earlier. That's the unique thing about this that makes it so interesting is that someone can print that form off, and when they get to the bold word caution, they might not know what exactly a hot power is, but that's going to make them stop and think about it. And they're going to have to affirmatively initial next to those hot powers if they want to give them to their grandson. So that's a key to preventing fraud. Is it, you know, it's not perfect, but it certainly will mitigate those instances. And then finally, Article 4, these are really miscellaneous provisions, key into 403, which says that this actually applies to all powers of attorney, existing and after. And then Section 2 provides an effective date that's extended to July 1, 2017. It's an extended date so that lawyers can pay money for a CLE and sit down and listen to someone go through this bill for them so that they know what they're doing and how it affects some of their practice or their current powers of attorney. You know, with that, I'm going to open myself up to questions.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have read this entire act and went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and there were some issues I had with it which have been pulled out. And just to stop the numerous questions is, yes, this is a good act to pass. I do have, however, one question and one thing to be addressed with this, and that is there are many people out there that currently have a durable power of attorney in place. And with the repealers, in particular, when you look at the repealers of 35102, what protections do we have for the current attorneys, in fact, that are operating with that repealer in place? And so I say that because we pass this law, we're probably not going to get everybody to come in or go into their attorney and get their power of attorney redone. So I have two questions specifically. You've heard these from me before. Are those older attorney or durable powers of attorney still effective, which I believe they are? This doesn't affect them. However, what protections are there concerning the protections that, say, a banking institution or another institution has to honor those before this act because they don't comply with the form, okay? And then also on a revocation of the older powers of attorney, how do we deal with that? And then, again, the protections that are afforded the I call them attorney in fact, but the agent acting in good faith.
Representative Olson.
All right, maybe we could have started with that question. But just to kind of work backwards through the good chairman's questions, revocation, first of all, what we did in this act is I mentioned that we repeal two of the three statutes. We don't repeal a third statute. One, that statute that we're not repealing in this law, it deals with revocation. So we're doing two things. We're saying that there are methods to revoke a power of attorney as specified in this act, but we're also not changing the existing law, which allows you to revoke a power of attorney by recording it in your county clerk's office. Otherwise, you would revoke that power of attorney just like you would any other contract by basically tearing it up or, in the alternative, creating a new power of attorney, which would replace the old power of attorney by date. Working back through some of the other questions here by the good chairman, how does this apply to existing powers of attorney? On page 89, 403, effect on existing powers of attorney, 3-9-403. So unless otherwise provided in this act, this a power of attorney created before, so that it would apply to all existing powers of attorney today, or on or after the effective date of this act. This act is going to apply, like I said, to existing powers of attorney. With repealing the statutes, what it won't do is necessarily change an interpretation of that power of attorney under those statutes. And I think there are multiple arguments that can be made on interpretation. If you had an existing power of attorney, do you have to go and get it changed? No, not necessarily, but part of the idea is to put Wyoming on notice that we have we have completely altered our power of attorney system, so maybe that's a good idea. And I think that's a good idea. You should be wondering if you should get your power of attorney revised, because for all the reasons we stated about the bill guarding against elder abuse, about fraud, etc., giving too many powers away, not giving enough power away, whatever it is, you should go and meet with your attorney and get it revised. Now, the intent of the bill isn't to drum up business, but the idea is you should be doing that, and if nothing else, you should be printing off the statutory form. So how's it going to apply? How's the law going to apply? Well, the bill specifically says that you can use this Power of Attorney Act, and you should, to interpret an existing power of attorney. But I think you could also make an interpretation argument under the prior statutes that existed based on time. So if you were to date your power of attorney, you could go to the law existing at the time to construe its purpose. But the end game is that's going to be irrelevant in 99.9% of the cases. You're going to have very few instances where you want to apply the old law, because the old law doesn't say anything, doesn't tell you anything. And the new law doesn't do anything dangerous to your existing power of attorney. It specifies all the powers that you would have given anyway. Those default powers that I talked about, there's nothing new or magical about those default powers. I produce a 10-page power of attorney that lists 32 powers. It already lists 90% of the powers listed in this bill. And I think most attorneys should be doing the same, and if they're not, it's a good thing you're getting it revised. I hope that in part answers some of the good chairman's questions, but he's back, so I may have missed something.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, I guess what I'm still saying, I don't have as much faith that everyone's going to come in and redo their durable power of attorney. I don't think that's the situation. Now, going forward, again, as I said, I think this is a good act. But what happens is we are repealing the existing law except for the revocation component, which was one of the things I discussed with before this was finalized for being numbered. But again, when you look at page 72, it says a document substantially in the following form may be used to create a statutory form power of attorney that has a meaning and effect prescribed by this act. So that's going to say then that all of the older documents that are out there are not, in my estimation, are not going to be valid under this act, and with the repealers, we're not going to have an act to go to, unless you can tell me something different with that. And again, I'm still looking at in dealing with third parties, and I think maybe it's something we can look at with a simple amendment, but you know, the response that I got was that, well, everybody needs to come in and get theirs redone. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's not been my experience. So,
Representative Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I know there are other questions, but I want to address that before it gets lost because I think it's an important question. One, I would agree the reality of everyone redoing their powers of attorney probably not going to happen. But what I want you to key into is the default provisions, and these start in section 204, which is on page 38. And here's the key. 204 through 217, 34 pages of this bill are your defaults, and every single statute starts with the exact same sentence, tweaked a little, unless the power of attorney otherwise provides. What that means is the existing power of attorney, if it says XYZ powers are given, not ABC powers, it's done exactly what the statute says you can do. It won't negatively impact those existing powers of attorney. If they comply 100% with all the powers granted inside the power of Attorney Uniform Act, that's great. If they don't, then you've done exactly what the Power of Attorney Act allows you to do, which is engage in a freedom of contract to grant the powers that you want to grant in the way you want to grant them. So I don't think that's the part you should be most concerned with. If I gave my agent a power and then we passed this Uniform Power of Attorney Act, does my agent still have that power? Yes. If I did not give my agent a specific power and I specifically said you don't have these powers, in my power of attorney that I have, I actually take those hot powers, and I've done this for a couple of years now, I actually list and say, I specifically do not give my agent these powers. If you've done that, they're not going to have those powers. Now, if you have a document, a one-page document that says, I give my agent general authority to do all the things that I could do myself if I weren't incapacitated, well, then you got some major problems, because without this bill, you've given them all of your hot powers. With this bill, it specifically says that you have not given hot powers in that scenario unless your power of attorney expressly provides for those powers. Hot powers are the ones you're worried about. Non-hot powers, they can have them. Those are the powers to check the mailbox and all the way up to sell a house, but not take insurance out in their name or modify a trust, dissolve a trust entirely. So, is there going to be some overlap? I think the chairman's questions are well founded in that world, but I think in the 99.9% of the realm that's going to affect powers of attorney, there's not going to be issues. In fact, you're going to be better off because those hot powers are going to be automatically excluded in those, I'll call, bogus single-page powers of attorney that are the definition of elder abuse and fraud. They shouldn't exist, but they do. Ones that you've specifically provided your powers in, you're going to comply with the act. And so I think that's going to happen anytime you transition into major reform in the law like this.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure I will not have to rewrite my power of attorney because I know that my attorney has written me a very fine power of attorney. But I do have a question about page 14, lines 12 through 17, having to do with the impact of termination. And it's specifically of interest to me because in the last few months I've had to go through being power of attorney for an elderly relative and just the challenges there. So it says, termination of an agent's authority is not effective. So I'm not actually following the English language here quite exactly, but in essence, termination is not effective without actual knowledge of the termination. And so, you know, if you have an elderly person Especially seeing as this is a uniform act and might, you know, you might have people in other states that you don't see regularly. You know, you're not driving them to the lawyer or whatever. If the principal has granted person A, let's just say me, power of attorney, and I go on doing banking things or selling property or whatever, and then a year later the principal makes another power of attorney but doesn't write it to revoke, then we've got two powers of attorney, and I might not actually know about it. We might be doing contradictory things, or even the principal could actually revoke it, mail me some sort of notice of revocation that I don't get in the mail. I'm continuing to act in good faith, but I've actually been revoked. And then it says that an act so performed binds the principal. And I just have some concern here, you know, not enough to, I mean, I'm sure it's better than what exists now, but I'm wondering whether there's any way that we can deal with, you know, conflicting powers of attorney, or the problem where the first power of attorney has somehow not received notice and then is binding the principal, maybe in something that the principal, by making a second power, has not intended. And I'm just a little concerned about that paragraph D, if the bringer could maybe cheer me up about that.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're talking about Section 3-9-110, starting on page 12 and going over to the top of page 15. I think that I read this provision more as a benefit of a prevention of fraud, and here's why. Subsection F, which is at the top of page 15, says exactly what the good representatives spoke to, which is that unless your power of attorney, a subsequent power of attorney, actually provides that the previous power of attorney is revoked or that all other powers of the attorney are revoked, it's not revoked. And that's, you know, that's actually a really good thing. In fact, I'll tell you, I actually had an amendment to amend the form. The statutory form, interestingly enough, doesn't have that language in it. And I thought, well, we ought to put that right in the first sentence of the statutory form. And I'll tell you, if you've ever seen a will, your first line in your will says that. It says, I revoke all other prior wills and codicils. If you have a good power of attorney, it says the same thing. If you have a trust, it says the same thing. So we do that in law in this area, trusts, power of attorneys, healthcare power of attorneys, and wills. And we use that magical language that we specifically revoke it. Under current state law in Wyoming, that's not required. That language isn't required. All you have to do, well, there's at least in part the statute tells us that we can revoke it by recording, but arguably you may be able to revoke it in other ways as well that you can do other, under, you know, general provisions of law. But you don't have to have that magical language. So why is it important? Well, this is what I think protects the principal probably the most in the scenario of having multiple powers of attorney out. We know, after this law is passed, we know that if a power of attorney doesn't have that magical language in the first sentence, it's going to call to question automatically the validity of that power of attorney. And we're going to wonder, is it an original or is it a second? And if we wind up with two powers of attorney, I think it's pretty clear that if the second doesn't have the language, we've now established that it at least has a basis or a presumption that it may have been fraudulent. And, of course, we'll litigate that in a court of law, and there may be evidence to suggest otherwise. It may have been left out as a drafter's error or whatever it may be. But I think requiring that language is important because that's the way that we know that the principal actually gave their consent and said, I want to revoke anything else I have. And I'm making a very clear statement that that's happening right now. And if it's not there, then we know that the form was probably printed off of line or done in their home. And I think those are good indications that we need to take a closer look. So I think it can work the reverse way in what the good representative is talking about as well. But I would suggest that this is more of a fraud prevention tool.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question doesn't go necessarily to anything specific in the bill, but it's the same question I have whenever I see uniform. What happens if Wyoming does not pass this? We have bills that bring us into uniformity, conformity, compliance, and I always wonder, what's the downside if we do not pass this bill along with only 18 other states? What's the downside?
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is probably a good time to talk about your fact sheet. It distributed in your boxes under the good representative of 45, I think, 45, is a packet of information. So pick that up, and on page, which is page 3, but after you turn that first page over, it has this section called Uniform Law Commission. It shows you a map of the states. There's actually 22 states that have passed the same act as the exact Uniform Act or something that is substantially similar in law, meaning they monkey with this. And I know, there's some talk about maybe some amendments, but part of the, I caution against amendments for that reason. There's only a couple of states that went down that path to try to tailor it in specific ways. And the bulk of states didn't. And the reason why the bulk of states didn't is because it defeats one of the purposes of the uniform law. Now, it's not the only reason why you should pass this bill is to have a uniform law. You should pass this bill because if it didn't say uniform and it were a statutory scheme created by someone here in the state of Wyoming, it would still do everything great that it does in terms of preventing fraud and elder abuse, or at least mitigating those things. But what it does on the uniform side, maybe I could talk about that for just a minute, which is uniformity across state lines. And it's important, especially with powers of attorney and advanced health care directives, which this doesn't address advanced health care directives, but maybe that's for a later date. If you look around Wyoming on that map, the great state that we're in, if you look around that map, you're going to see that virtually every state around us has adopted this Uniform Power of Attorney Act. So what that means is that when you're moving from state to state, as we do, because maybe you have homes in both in multiple states for different seasons of the year, you're gonna fall within the same guys in the statutory scheme in one of the great ski states versus the great state that we're in. And so that's going to provide you some comfort in knowing that, you may have it drafted in one state, and it's going to be just as acceptable across state lines. And I can't tell you as an attorney how many calls I get from another state with someone whose dad's sitting in the hospital, and they're right in the hospital, and they need a advanced health care directive, or they need to know what they need to do, and I have to stop and tell them, well, that's actually a creature of state law, so I'm not sure I can help you over here. And when you have such commerce that we have now, such crossing of state lines, uniformity in certain sections of the law makes good sense. And with retirees who are the ones most likely utilizing a power of attorney and going across state lines for all kinds of various reasons in their month-to-month life, I think that's important. Now, finally, the last part of the question, what do we lose if we don't adopt this? Well, if we don't adopt this, you continue to enact a statutory scheme, three sparse statutes that create a license to steal in the state of Wyoming. And I know that might sound a little rough, but that's really what it is. We don't provide the protections that we should be providing. And there's a reason why 22 states have done this, because for all those reasons, they've come to the same conclusion we have. They've gone through sections and realized, my gosh, the elder abuse and the fraud in our state is outlandish. How do we address it? There's lots of ways to address it. The Power of Attorney Act is one. So I think that's what you lose over time. Just to give you a comparison, in this area of law, we already have a uniform trust code. We have a uniform transfer of minors act. We are uniformed in this area of law minus really two major areas, the Power of Attorney Act and the probate code. And arguably, some of that other stuff's pretty archaic as well and creates a lot of complications across state lines. So I think you gain a lot here.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a question for the bringer of the bill. I'm looking at page 73, line number 9, and this is on the standard form. And it says you should select someone you trust to serve as your agent. And then on the next page, it indicates that if the agent is unwilling or unable to act for you, et cetera. But my question is, did you consider whether or not somebody's filling out this form and they elect a minor as their agent? And should there be some language concerning that?
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So first, you know, this is really good that we've been brought to the form by the bringer of the question. I want you to take a look at that form. It starts on page 72. One of the neat things about the form is that it doesn't just provide a list of powers and you do a checkbox. It actually provides instructions. For example, it says this power of attorney doesn't authorize the agent to make health care decisions for you. This power of attorney becomes effective immediately unless you state otherwise. It lists the powers out so you know which powers you have given away. Then, when we get to the back of the form, after we get to hot powers, so we're now moving on to page 78, ends the hot powers. Page 82 has this section called Important Information for Agent, and it says Agent's Duties. Here it actually takes the statute and codifies it into the form and provides you the duties. So you actually pick up the form as an agent and you read it and you know, what are my duties, what can I do, what can't I do. It lists the fiduciary duties. Right now in a power of attorney, what attorneys do in the state of Wyoming is they say, oh, you have all the fiduciary duties that you have under the Uniform Trust Code, because that's the only area where we list out fiduciary duties. Well, here we actually list them in the statute so the form can refer to them. So, one, I wanted to take that question as an opportunity to point out to you that the form does all of that as well. It provides an agent clear understanding of what they can't do. The questions about termination, those are also in the form. Questions about liability are also in the form. Now, and then, interestingly, the first part of the question pointed at how the form says you should pick someone you trust. You know, that's probably the most key thing about powers of attorney is that you need to be selecting someone you trust, and maybe that's a good reminder for the folks. As far as minors go, should the form tell you that you can't provide a power of attorney to a minor? And that's a good question, because I'm not sure that you technically can't do that under state law. I'm not, and maybe I'd have to peruse through this bill again, but I don't remember a section that specifically said you couldn't give certain authorities to a minor. Now, typically we don't do that, and typically you don't enter into a contract with a minor because of the defense of minority, which says that the contract's unenforceable. So if you were to give a minor a power, I believe they could execute it, but the principal could rely on the defense of, hey, none of it's enforceable. So if something went awry, they could back out. Now, should the statutory form say that you can't contract with minors? Well, I don't think that, what I'm getting at is I don't know that the law says that you can't do that. So it might, that's a choice, I think. And ultimately, I don't want to say that the purpose of the statutory form is so you don't have to consult an attorney. You should still consult an attorney. But people are not going to consult an attorney, and the form is going to provide them better guidance when they don't. When they do consult an attorney, unless there's a darn good reason why a minor should be given all of these powers, I think your attorney is going to walk you away from that concept for a lot of reasons. So, you know, I actually had, just real quick, I had several other attorneys approach me, and I'm sure they had this on the other side of the hall as well, asking about this amendment to the statutory form, because I deal in healthcare law and I represent nursing homes, and I think this ought to be here. And then someone else would say, well, I think this ought to be in the form. And here's the reality. The form, again, is the law says that you just have to substantially comply with the form. You don't have to use it verbatim. And so an attorney can mold that form in any way they want. And then if an attorney wants to automatically put provisions in there about minors, they certainly can. And as long as something doesn't violate the act, that form is very, very amendable. and customizable, and it should be, because you still have the freedom to contract even with this bill. So I would have, you know, just as a general rule, I would advise against. I think I myself could think of a dozen ways to change the form, but I would caution the body against changing a uniform law for that reason. It starts to destroy the uniformity, which is part of the process of a uniform law. Any more questions?
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbride's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 105 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 105 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
February 21st, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 105, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Ayer, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. Thank you and congratulations, Representative. Members, thank you. I didn't want to be prophetic about one bill or 10 bills. I guess the House has spoken. It was one bill. Wow. Well, thank you. We might adjust our schedule tomorrow. I'll work on this on adjournment, but we might just jump right back into Committee of the Whole first thing in the morning. I think Representative Chairman Ayer did such a great job. I think we ought to keep his mojo going. So we might... do a little of that first thing and then get back into our normal order of business. So with that, I think we've made all our committee announcements. And so, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the first five bills for tomorrow will be Senate File 32, 42, 136, and 131. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017.
Any other announcements? Privileges of the floor? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The House is adjourned until Wednesday, February 22nd at 10 a.m.